The scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Let us hear the word of God. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this word to the early church. It's not dead. It's not ancient. It's alive. It actually speaks to the modern day church. In other words, it speaks to us. Keep us open to being touched by your grace and truth through these very words. And it's in the name of the greatest truth, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Happened again. It happened again yesterday. I saw this white minivan. This is a Yuma driving story. Okay, I'll preface it. I saw this white minivan kind of, you know, speeding up and almost smashing into the rear of a car and just being so urgent to get someplace. And I kind of got off to the side and was hoping that they would go ahead and pass right by me. And finally, they honked at the car that was next to me, like, "Come on, I'm in a hurry. What's the matter with you?" And as they drove by on the back windshield, for all the world to see, was the decal of a local church. That's why we will not have decals of Gila Mountain Church. Ever. Although, I could also have under the decal, call and then the church phone number, say how I'm driving. And all of a sudden, we get all sorts of things. This scripture passage, whenever you look at it, whenever you look at it again later on this afternoon, verses 9 through 13 are not a particular challenge, are they? Really? I mean, really. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. A lot of good things there. Yeah. Yeah, I can do that as a Christian. Yeah, no problem. However, this passage is more than a Hallmark card of theology. A Hallmark card of theology is kind of that kind of theology where everything is just nice and sweet and tied up in the end and all the problems are taken care of. But this speaks of a much deeper kind of theology, a much deeper faith, and a challenging kind of faith at that. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them? That's a question mark that I put on there. Maybe, if you're honest, you would read it in that same way. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep also with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And then, the real kicker. This is what people have been asking me about this past week. In our Bible studies, people have looked at this scripture passage. This is what they've been looking at, this last section of this pericope, this section of scripture. Hear it. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Tell me that part of Scripture didn't strike you. Do this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I've always thought a wonderful card that Hallmark could produce on the front would say, God loves you. God loves you on the front. Then you open up the card and inside it says, and I'm trying. Heap burning coals on their heads. Kill them with kindness. All of those different phrases that we've learned and some of us have tried to put into action. But Paul is speaking very seriously here. He's not just talking about trying to get along with one another. He's talking about what it is to be the body of Christ. Now you understand, in the verses that begin chapter 12, that talks about the new life in Christ. That talks about what it is to be renewed by the God of resurrection. What it is to be renewed by the God of grace, what it is to be renewed by the God of unending power. It speaks about that in those first 8 verses. For as in one body, we have many members, and all the members have the same functions, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another. It talks about gifts. It talks about particular areas where we can be in ministry. So while we might be different than one another, and you can look at the person next to you and see if they look exactly the same, if they have the same gifts, if they're a mirror image of you, and not just because you're looking at a mirror or anything like that, they aren't. I guarantee you right now, I'll let you know that. And that's what a joy is for the world to see as well. The church, all these different people coming from all sorts of directions, coming from all sorts of backgrounds, coming from all sorts of places, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and coming together to be the body of Christ. We understand that Christ was not calling the church to be perfect but faithful. No question about that. Calling the church not to always get it right, but to continue to keep focused on God. There's a lot of relief in that, isn't there? That you don't have to be perfect to be a Christian. Boy, that's a lot of relief for me. Every morning whenever I wake up and I look at who's looking back at me in the mirror, I say, praise God that I don't have to be perfect. That's a joy. That's grace of God working in us. And that grace is spoken of here as well. Paul, speaking words of truth, talks about very difficult challenges in the early church. The church at Rome, certainly. The church at Corinth. I mean, if Paul was a church planner, you might not necessarily think that he was particularly successful. But he kept going. And he continued to encourage. What's that last verse? Sometimes it's kind of dropped, okay? After we read the verses in front of it, it's kind of dropped off. I mean, after you hear, "For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads," that kind of gets your attention. And people have a tendency to read Scripture in that way, don't they? They're struck by a particular verse. That's what they're focused on. They're thinking, what in the world does that mean? Well, it's from Proverbs. You can look back, check out. It's from Proverbs, and it's wisdom literature. But what's the very last verse? "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." While the verse right in front of it might be more dramatic, might be more memorable, this is at the core of what our mission is. You will not be overcome. In other words, Paul is saying here, you will not be overcome by evil, because the God of grace and power has identified you as his own and identified the church as his own as well. You know, this is kind of a covenant for the early church. And I remember leading a youth group gathering back in Pennsylvania, and it was going to be for 3 nights, so there'd certainly been a lot of prayer that I was engaged in. 3 nights dealing with 80 youth sleeping on the floor. A lot of people were praying for me also. And we were kind of developing a covenant to be able to follow for that weekend. You know, a covenant of behavior to follow. And whenever this was introduced, and we were going to write down all of these things, and then all the youth were going to sign it. In other words, they were going to say, "I'm going to adhere to this covenant. I'm going to follow the things on this list." And one youth, whenever we first introduced this idea, and there's always someone that's willing to go ahead and stand up and just shout out and be bold, and they're never really considered particularly quiet or shy. You might be thinking of somebody right now in your own life that you love. One youth just shouted, "No drama! No drama!" Do you know what drama is? Have you experienced drama in your own life? Are you experiencing drama right now? Are you heading into a season of drama? No drama. Keep focused on God, in other words. Paul reminds the early church, reminds us, it's the present day church, disciples, brothers and sisters in Christ, no drama. Let's keep it focused on God. Let's keep focused on what God is calling us to do. Not majoring in the minors, but rather focusing on God moving in our lives. That, my friends, is always what would be most worthwhile and important. Will distractions still come? Of course. There's no question about that. Always will. Always will be whenever you deal with people. In his book, Mountains Beyond Mountains, Dr. Paul Farmer introduces this idea that I'd like to share with you. Dr. Paul Farmer travels the world, and he establishes clinics to treat diseases like tuberculosis. He does it in areas where there's severe poverty, where he has to deal with bureaucracies, where he has to deal with local traditions that might not move things along in an expedited manner. But he still, after years and years of doing that, after years and years of being in the forefront of the mission field, of having to deal with challenges, big, difficult challenges, and difficult people, what he follows is what he calls a hermeneutic of generosity. Hermeneutic. That's a 10-cent seminary word. But all it means is you consider where someone comes out of. You consider their context of living. You consider where they grew up, and you assume the best of them in a hermeneutic of generosity. You assume that they're coming from the best place. Evaluating people's actions with the assumption that their motives are good. In other words, giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. Churches, and I thought about this with football starting. What a wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful time. And people practicing with volleyball season starting. Yes, awesome. With all these different sports starting up and people of all ages on the practice field, preparing themselves, getting ready. The church is the practice field of God's grace and love. We are all players. We are all on the team. And whenever we come to the church, what are we called to do? We are called to be channels of grace. We are called to be channels of forgiveness. We are called to seek to see the best in another. And we are called to be the hands and feet of Christ in a world that needs it now more than ever. Certainly, would it be easy to write people off and say, well, they're no good? Would it be easy to go ahead and poke holes in their character or look for the holes? Yes. But nobody said that Christianity is easy. It's just the most blessed way of living. It's the most joyful way of living. It's the most grace-filled way of living. No question about it. So we are part of that team. We are part of God's team. We are called to share love in a genuine way. We are called to recognize that what we're doing is a challenge, but we understand that Christianity is a higher form of living. It will challenge us and it will stretch us, but it will stretch us to allow God to fill us more fully and completely. Are you ready to be filled more fully and completely by God? Are you open to being stretched so that He can pour into you even more of His grace? That's the only reason why God wants to stretch you. Do you understand that? He wants a bigger space to be able to fill up more of you with Him, with His love and His power. What an awesome thing that is. And it's already happening right now, not because I'm saying it, but because the Bible says it, and because it is true, and we witness to it again and again and again as His church, those people who belong to God and who are defined by God and God alone. I invite you, this time of discipleship, just to ponder how God is stretching you, or how you could be more open to the God of grace. Maybe in this time too, there is somebody that you want to heap coals on. Maybe you don't want to do it in a Christ-centered way. You just want to go out to the grill and start throwing them over the fence. Lay that person before God too. And a simple prayer. Lord, if you're stretching me through this person to be filled more powerfully and completely by your love and grace, thy will be done. Some of the most powerful words in all the English language, thy will be done. Be open to God right now as His people and how He's filling you with His unending love.